Hello, and welcome to show number 2447 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program covering a wide variety of topics of interest to people with vision loss. I'm Nancy Goodman Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
I cannot help to feel somewhat mad and upset just because why things have to be so hard? And why cannot have the same chances as other people? But then I start wondering, it's like, if I did have the chances, would I have actually taken advantage of them? I don't know.
And that was today's guest reflecting on his feelings in a period of adversity in his life. And we'll be talking today about that period in his life.
We'll talk with Pedro, a blind immigrant, and Seth Hernandez, director of the recently released documentary Unseen, Life as a Blind Immigrant, which describes Pedro's journey. They delve into the obstacles, anxieties, and challenges Pedro encountered along the way towards getting an education and developing a career in social work. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Pedro.
So I guess to me will be one step at a time. I feel that when we're hiking and we focus on the tip of the mountain, it can be quite overwhelming. But if we break it down into small, manageable steps, all of a sudden it becomes a bit more doable. And sometimes, especially when things are out of our control, life can seem quite overwhelming. So I feel that in those moments, the best thing that we can do is just try to stay in the present and just focus on one step at a time.
And I gather that's been a successful approach for you, as people can see in the documentary.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
Glidance, pioneers of Glide, an intelligent guide for the blind and low vision community. Glide's AI-powered technology guides you around obstacles, hazards, and more, providing audio and haptic feedback, getting you where you need to go safely and independently. More information is at glidance.io/eyes. That's glidance.io/EYES.
And by
InnoSearch AI, an accessible e-commerce tool for the blind. You can find your favorite electronics, groceries, or do some early holiday shopping at InnoSearch.ai, now partnered with over 500,000 retailers. That's InnoSearch.ai.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
Let's start by meeting Seth and Pedro.
Today we have two guests with us. I thought maybe, Seth, we could start by having you introduce yourself and tell what you do and a little bit about yourself.
For sure. Hey, Pete and Nancy, thanks so much for having us talk about Pedro's amazing work and our film in your show. My name is Seth Hernandez. I am a filmmaker, a director, producer of the film Unseen that follows Pedro's journey to become a social worker, amongst other things. But before that, I was a community organizer, particularly focusing on immigrant rights. I myself being an undocumented immigrant growing up and to this day. And now more than ever, that organizing work really continues to be of significance in our communities. And before that, I was a linguist. So here I am today.
And I understand you're a member of some organizations that reflect some of these interests in terms of putting together theater for people with different abilities or statuses.
I was a co-founder of the Undocumented Filmmakers Collective when we were making Unseen. One of the barriers that we faced, part of the reason why it took so long to make our film, is a lot of grant-making opportunities for filmmakers and artists at large require a person to have U.S. citizenship or to be a permanent resident. And even though I have been living in the U.S. since I was 12, in essence, living here for the past 20 years, having not left either, I am not viewed as someone who is of here or from here in the face of these different opportunities. And I'm not the only one, unfortunately. There are so many other filmmakers who happen to be undocumented immigrants themselves who face these same barriers. And in realization of that, leaning on my background, being a community organizer, I helped to bring a group of us together, leading to an organization that has been a hub for undocumented filmmakers all over the country. And I think there's about 100 or so members now of the collective. It's called the Undocumented Filmmakers Collective.
And our second guest is actually the subject of the documentary that you made, and we'll be talking with him about his journey and struggles. So maybe, Pedro, I thought you could introduce yourself and tell a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Nancy and Pete. And thank you so much for having us here. It's an honor being with you all. And my name is Pedro. I'm legally blind. I have retinitis pigmentosa. I came to the States when I was 16 years old, and I am a social worker. Usually my background is in mental health and disability rights, and I am the participant of the film Unseen, in which it follows me through a span of 7 years.
Eyes on Success connects corporate sponsors with visually impaired listeners around the world.
More information about becoming a sponsor can be found at www.sponsor.eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is Pedro's journey as a blind, undocumented immigrant and the documentary film and podcast that Set made about that journey.
Well, Set, from listening to the podcast that you made about the documentary itself, it sounded like this was a very long process. It took many years to put together. And I thought maybe you could give us a quick summary of what the documentary was about and how you came to meet Pedro.
For sure. Cliff Notes version of this very long story, like Pedro said, it took about 7 years or so to make the film. And now podcast. Pedro and I first met a program that supported undocumented young adults to find professional development opportunities at a time when such opportunities were so sparse and lacking in the professional world. And from that moment, it was the first time that I met an undocumented person in my organizing work that also happened to have a disability, in Pedro. And it made me cognizant that so much of the organizing work I have been a part of within immigration really never thought about immigrants at large with disabilities. And that intersectionality being often overlooked and even erased in the way we advocate for immigration reform in the work that we were doing. So a year later, after I first met Pedro, I reached out to him about making a film that follows his journey through the lens of his immigration and his disability. But in the course of 7 years of making the film transformed beyond that. And I think Pedro actually is probably the best person to really summarize how the film ended up through his lens. And it's a privilege to have been able to work on the film with him, because in that process, I think I grew as a person from being in community and being Pedro's friend.
So Pedro, in the podcast and the documentary, you talked about how you arrived here just shortly after your 16th birthday, and that made a big difference in your status. If you were here before you were 16, you would have had some other advantages, and you kind of started off behind the eight ball. Things were difficult for you. Can you talk a little bit about your first couple of years and how things started out?
Yes, absolutely. And you're right. It was a tad more difficult, and I feel that it still is for many undocumented immigrants, the idea that not having the flexibility of have a work permit definitely made it complicated, to say the least. I came here again at the age of over 16 years and 5 weeks old, and it was definitely difficult to find resources in the community. But I was very blessed and fortunate because I've been surrounded by beautiful people who see beyond the identities of the individuals and focus on their essence and the persona itself, regardless of race, immigration status, gender, you name it, sexual orientation. And thanks to mentors, thanks to nonprofits, thanks to community organizing, I was able to meet some of my needs, such as peer-to-peer blind training, access to college education, some opportunities for scholarships or internships. So despite all the struggles, all the hurdles, I was very lucky. I was very lucky. I sometimes say that I went through the cracks, but instead of going downward, I went upward. Because not many people in my situation got the opportunities that I did, which I feel very fortunate. But at the same time, I cannot shake off that a little bit of sense of guilt, because why me? So yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who say, why me, when something bad happens, but people to whom good things happen can have similar reactions. Why me?
Yes.
So this documentary followed you for 7 years. At what stage in your life and training were you at the beginning of the documentary?
In that process, I was barely transitioning to a four-year college. And right before I started my first semester in a four-year institution, that's when I met Seth. Because I was looking for funding to pay for my tuition. That's how I found this internship for young immigrants, and that's how I met him. So a year after that, that's when we started the process of the documentary, which pretty much was in my junior year of college.
And you kind of had the double barriers of being an immigrant, so some funding sources and opportunities were not available to you, in addition to being blind and needing some adaptive services and stuff, which I assume were also difficult to obtain.
Yeah.
And somehow you managed to overcome that. Your parents were very supportive and really supported you going through college, but it wasn't easy for anybody, was it?
It was not at all. That's why I feel that this film is more about the community that surrounded me than myself, because without them, I wouldn't be here. I'm a firm believer that a social environment matters a lot, and any seed is able to blossom. It just needs the right nurture and the right soil. So to me, it was my mentors. To me, it was the institution that I was in, the nonprofits that supported me, my parents, my friends, my teachers, classmates.
You must have been performing very well, because in the documentary, there was one particular mentor I remember who spoke very highly of you, was instrumental in getting some of the support that got you through your last year of college or so.
You know, I'm going to tell you a little secret. So, yes, I did graduated from honors from my undergrad and my grad school. But during my first 2 years of college, last time I counted, and I got almost 12 to 15 classes that I failed.
Wow.
To almost 3 semesters of my college education was pretty much wasted. Just one, because I was not in the right mind. Two, because I didn't have the tools and the training. And three, because I believed that I couldn't do it. So, and that's when those mentors actually were the most beneficial, that even before believing in myself, they saw that they were struggling, and they were willing to give me a push to not let me go, even though that I was not performing as I supposed to.
Yeah, it took you a while to get your feet underneath you and going, but once you did, it seems like things went pretty well. But even after getting your bachelor's degree, you had some doubts as to whether to continue on to get your master's, didn't you? And I understand you had some of your mentors really kind of push you and encourage you into going further because they knew you had the capability.
Yes, yes. I guess that the uncertainty of not knowing what's going to happen with my future was making me doubtful about what would be my next steps. Because sometimes I feel that I did it, one, because I like my profession. I like being there for my community. I like to serve others. But other, because honestly, I didn't know what else I could do. And education and the academics was something that I became good at and I felt safe too. So that's why probably I took that route.
And I guess the other question was, your goal was to become a social worker, but you weren't even certain that even after getting your education, that you'd be able to be allowed to get a job, right?
That's correct.
What are some of the issues surrounded with getting a job as an immigrant?
The main issue is not having a social security and not being able to have a job. Mainly, I don't qualify to be employed. So I have to go through alternative routes, such as being a subcontractor, which is something that is lawful. And also some barriers when it comes to internships and other learning opportunities.
So certain grants and sources of economic support were not available to you either?
No, they were not.
But at this point, you both have careers, interesting, worthwhile careers, in spite of the fact that neither one of you could walk into McDonald's and get a job behind the counter. How do you manage that?
Until this point, I still don't know. So it requires a lot of, again, support from the community and also learning what are some of the alternatives that you have as an immigrant. So as I mentioned before, like being a subcontractor, that's something that I didn't know until I got connected to the right people and show me the way so I could have a lawful way to earn my living.
Seth, do you have any comments you want to add to that?
No, I'm just reflecting on what the question is actually, and you know, thinking about what Pedro was saying also, you know, like to humble brag for Pedro, because I'm so proud to be Pedro's friend, to be honest. Like the work that Pedro does in the community is indispensable, you know, and one of Pedro's mentors even told me one time, like, there's a time when the mentee becomes the mentor of the mentor, you know, and I think in so many ways, I have heard some of Pedro's mentors talk about that in relation to him and his work. But even though that's the case, there's this continued obstacle that our community faces. And I think that's the unfortunate reality, not just for undocumented and immigrant people, but even like for people with disabilities. I think I heard from Pedro, correct me if I'm wrong, that within the blindness community, like about 80% of the population doesn't have employment. So a very small handful of blind and low vision people find employment. But in reality, so many of our communities are so talented, so capable. It's just that the social structures that we live in, the political rhetoric that we are living under, it makes us think that we're imposters, in essence, you know? It makes us believe these things that aren't true about ourselves often, you know? And I think especially for younger immigrants, as I talk to different community organizers about this also, you know, so all this to say to what Pedro was saying, I think the saving grace in all of this is when you find people who believe in you, who believe in you more than you believe in yourself, it lights a fire in you, you know, that in spite of the obstacles that we face in a structural level from politics, from the state, the people who believe in us, at least for me, the people who have believed in me make me feel like, oh, maybe it's worth pursuing what I want to do. And I think it's only because of that that I've been able to find the resources, to find the networks. Because it's difficult to live this life alone, but when you find other people to lean on, you get to the mountaintop when you're together.
That has to be a big thing, the support that you get, especially when you're new and young. You guys were both in your teens when you came over here. And what do you know when you're a teenager, right?
Exactly.
But to have people believe in you, encourage you, support you, and that has to eventually really help lead to your success. One thing I think is interesting is they often talk about how blind people learn to become problem solvers because they have to solve problems every day. How do I access this? How do I get from here to there? And it seems to me there is much of that same attitude or skill set that's learned as an immigrant, as the struggles you guys talked about going through. You have to find alternate ways of finding funding, alternate ways of getting employment and work through problems, and you really become problem solvers in the same way. So that leads to some very important and useful skills in life.
This is very true. And I think, you know, the problem solving also comes from the fact, like I was sharing earlier, when you have other people that believe in you, that you can actually solve the problem, you know, like you're like, oh, maybe I can actually solve the problem after all. I think what I'm also realizing, like from the lens of, you know, being a filmmaker, that sometimes lack and necessity, though I don't want to glamorize not having access to a lot of things, it leads to resourcefulness and inventiveness, especially, I'll speak for myself as a filmmaker, in that the lack leading to resourcefulness and inventiveness leads to new forms, new modalities of doing the art that you're doing, that I think sometimes is really, really exciting too. So sometimes it's a blessing in disguise. But like I said, I don't want to glamorize.
If you don't mind if I add something to that. I feel that unfortunately the other side of the coin is like, I feel that the right amount of pressure, the right amount of stress ignites that creativity, that resourcefulness. But I feel that once we go over the line when it comes to the structural barriers or stressors, I believe that it has the high risk of crushing people or paralyzing people and actually make them feel that it is not possible.
That's very true. That's very true.
Yeah, there's always a balancing act to be played. There are pros and cons to all these approaches. So Pedro, before we sign off with you, I was wondering, we went through all these struggles with you and how you overcame blindness and being an immigrant. You have a very nice job these days. Tell people a little bit about what you do. I understand it's very interesting.
Struggle. I'm still in the struggles, but right now I will say that I'm happy with what I'm doing. I'm very grateful for having the family that I have, having the community that I have. I continue to run. I did a half marathon last weekend. And professionally, I'm currently in the process of concluding my clinical hours. So once I'm done with my clinical hours, I'll be able to take my clinical exam and hopefully become a licensed clinical social worker. So, and hopefully I would like to continue to contribute with the blind community and continue with peer-to-peer support.
Well, congratulations. That's very exciting. And it's really uplifting to other people to see how, despite the issues you've confronted in your life, especially as a young teenager, that you've overcome many of those challenges. It wasn't easy, but you did. And now you have a successful career and a happy, enjoyable life.
Thank you. Thank you.
And you're able to provide support to so many other people through the career that you've chosen.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And I was just going to say in the film, you know, and in the podcast now, there's a line where Pedro's mentor tells him, just like how his mentor found someone to help him, you know, his mentor ended up, you know, being a source of support for Pedro. And now, like Pedro was saying, you know, he also becomes a source of support for other people in his community and becomes like this infinite chain of interdependency that Pedro always talks about. And now more than ever, how can we find an opportunity to lean on each other, to go through our daily lives? Because I think in the grand scheme of things, when we have each other's backs, that's the only way that we can really move forward.
A great story.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Now for this week's final item, how to watch the documentary Unseen or listen to the podcast Unseen Life as a Blind Immigrant, and how to contact both Seth Hernandez, the maker of the film and podcast, and Pedro, the subject of both.
Well, Seth, I'm sure many people would be interested in either seeing the documentary or listening to the podcast. If you can remind people about the name and where to find it, that would be great.
For sure. The podcast is available wherever you listen, in any audio streaming platform, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, NPR, Amazon Music, you name it, it's there. And then by early next year in 2025, the film should also be available on video on demand platforms like iTunes and Amazon. And we also invite folks to host a screening of the film for free if they would like. You can find all this information at our films and podcasts website, unseen-film.com.
And what's the name of the documentary and the podcast?
Yes, I'm so sorry. I never talked about what the film is called. The film is called Unseen, and its companion podcast is called Unseen Life as a Blind Immigrant.
And if people wanted to reach you, either of you, to ask a question or anything, how would they do that?
Yeah, they can contact us on social media, Instagram, or on our website. They can reach out to us at watchunseenfilm@gmail.com.
Any other resources that you want to share with our listeners?
For sure. I mean, I would just share that our website is bilingual in English and Spanish, and there's actually a tab on our page literally called resources, particularly dealing with immigration, with accessibility, and also with mental health support. So for any of these three themes, folks can go to our website to find a plethora of resources that they can learn more about.
And of course, all of that information can be found in the show notes associated with this episode, which is episode 2447.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking with Shelley Brisbane, a technology journalist and author, about the latest revision of her book, iOS Access for All, Your Comprehensive Guide to Accessibility for iPhone and iPad. And this most recent edition talks about what's new in iOS 18, in particular, new features for blind and low vision users, including enhancements to the Braille keyboard, point and speak, hover typing, and Apple Intelligence.
And of course, there's always something new in the newest edition of iOS, so be sure to join us for that episode if you want to learn more.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening and have a nice day.